You've been searching for answers, wandering in the dark, looking for that glimmer of light that resonates with your soul and spirit. As you step into this new era that some indigenous people refer to as the Rainbow Bridge, without a compass, without a guide, yet needing some help to navigate your way through this spiritual maze, look no further. We've got the map. The Searcher's Roadmap. Now here's your host for The Searcher's Roadmap, Rhonda Harris.
Good morning, afternoon, or evening, wherever you are in the time zone. This is Rhonda Harrison with the Roadmap for Seekers with Susie Daggett today, who writes, speaks, and teaches about the everyday soul, human interactions, and the intuitive process. In her Dear Source series, she writes to Source about the day's soul journey. With conversations, she chats with Claire, her inner soul friend, and Posey, her ego mind, to understand that lovely intersection between our soul needs and our ego wants. She teaches about intuition and offers intuitive business and life coaching. Her book, Pearls, 52 Contemplative Insights, offers practical life advice and timeless spiritual wisdom. A former publisher, she created and produced the Insight Healthy Living Directory and Insight Lectures featuring National New Thought teachers. Hello, listeners. I don't know what just happened. So I'm going to start over with introducing Susie. Susie writes and speaks and teaches about everyday soul and human interactions and the intuitive process. In her Dear Source series, she writes to Source about the day's soul journey. With conversation, she chats with Claire, her soul friend, and Posey, her ego mind, to understand that lovely intersection between our soul needs and our ego wants. She teaches about intuition and offers intuitive business and life coaching. Her book, Pearls 52 Contemplative Insights, offers practical life advice and timeless spiritual wisdom. A former publisher, she created and produced the Insight Healthy Living Directory and the Insight Lectures featuring National New Thought teachers. She was a newspaper columnist and TV and radio host, interviewing many speakers and healers. She is a retired real estate broker whose successful business was built on intuition. And if you want to reach Susie, you can reach her at www.deersource.com. That's DEARSOURCE.com. And with that, I'll bring Susie into the studio. Hello, Susie.
Hey, Rhonda. Thank you so much for that lovely introduction and for the brilliance of your show and reaching so many people to help them find their way. Thank you.
You're very welcome. I mean, that's what this whole process is that I do between the two shows I do here on the RBR, is to bring, you know, oral tradition to people that have never been out before in the world outside of these different, you know, dialects and different cultures. And, you know, and now the Roadmap for Seekers has turned into pretty much authors who have been given, you know, divine information to write in books, and it's been delivered to them through, you know, the soul and through meditation and through the divine. And your book is amazing. I've been reading it and applying it to my life, plus telling all my friends about it. And, you know, it's just amazing how much is out there that, you know, the world doesn't always see, you know, because it is mm-hmm. in the divine. And so
right.
how did you start right. doing this, Susie, for our listeners?
Well, it happened almost 20 years ago, very close to 20 years ago, when I was a very dear friend to some of our dear friends who had lost a young daughter in an accident. And when that happens, there's so little you can do besides love them and send them as much healing energy as you can.
Mm-hmm.
So I would go out on this rock in my yard every day for quite a while, and I would sit and meditate and send them love and tenderness and kindness, and I asked their daughter to join me in spirit, and she did. And towards the end of my meditation and prayer time, I was just sitting there, and I got these thoughts, which I named pearls, and I knew that they were not my mental construct, but rather they were something else, because a smile would come across my face. And so luckily for me, I took time to write them down, and I gathered them. And over the years, I tried to produce them in different ways, as cards and as different sort of ideas.
Mm-hmm.
And then it came to me that it was time for a book. So I had written the material. The pearls themselves come from source, but the material is a part about wisdom, and then there's a practice. And I had written that many years ago, so I refined it and cleaned it up. And luckily, my daughter-in-law is a brilliant editor, so she did more cleaning up, took all my commas out. I'm a kind of a comma queen. And she also is brilliant at CreateSpace, so we were able to put it on Amazon, and it came out beautifully. My husband's a photographer, and he did a beautiful job on the cover, and so it's kind of a little bit of a family friend operation, and it's striking people now, because they can read very simple, non-dogmatic, practical life advice truths and get something out of it without any kind of specific language. I try and stay very normal in my languaging, so that people who have never walked into this world of understanding anything about spirituality or the soul, or wanting to understand it, they kind of get a glimmer and they go, okay, I do understand that. That makes sense. And I've been lucky lately. I've gotten the book into a couple of spas, one in Nevada and one in California, and hope to get more in other spas, because it's a beautiful book for women to give to other women.
Mm-hmm.
It tends to be more of a women's book, as these inspirational type of books are. And yet, I mean, I've had some men who have read it and they go, you know, this takes me deeper into something that I didn't even think I really needed to pay attention to. So
mm-hmm.
that's what it's about. And it's an easy, digestible, but somewhat deep book.
And it is deep, but yet it's still, and the deepness is the self-reflection that you encourage people to do after they read
right.
the pearl. And it's interesting that mm-hmm. I just opened it up to the 13th pearl. In claiming your own reality, you find your integrity. And I think that's a lot
mm-hmm.
of what people are looking for, is that integrity that we don't see as much, since we become so materialized and so fast-moving in this time frame, you know. And to stop and reflect, I think, is really important. And our integrity is having to really be brought up to the next level, where we're trying to be, you know, in the proper integrity for spirit, for, you know, our day-to-day lives and business. And what do you feel that this pearl brings out the most, I guess?
Well, if people aren't being in their own reality, if they're living somebody else's life,
mm-hmm.
Say they went from, as a woman, they went from their father's home to their husband's home to a short-term job, career, then children, and then volunteering, and then helping their children do everything, and then all of a sudden, wait a minute, what happened to me?
Mm-hmm.
And you see and hear that from many women. Men, too, they go through a midlife crisis, but women, because they give so much to their families, because they're just natural-born givers, they forget to take time to reflect on, well, who am I? So they have never claimed their own reality. And when you don't claim your own reality, you can't find your level of integrity. You're just living it through somebody else. You feel like somebody else is more important than you. which is not true. You are the most important person on this planet to yourself, because you're a part of Source. And Source
mm-hmm.
wants everybody and everything to be in as perfect alignment as possible, which is that beautiful element called love that we have such a hard time understanding in our world, because we put it into Hallmark world instead of into the heartfelt, true caring, and true gratitude about who you are as a person. So you, when somebody's claiming their own reality, they're claiming their inner strength, and it's so beautiful to see that happen. That's when change happens.
Mm-hmm.
That's when change happens. You understand who you are, and if something is happening around you, there's a lot of drama and trauma happening around you that really has nothing to do with you, you can learn that that is their deal, not yours, and you
mm-hmm.
can step out of it. That's part of the practice, and I'll read the practice, and it says, if you find yourself in a moment of intensity or drama, step away. If you're able, switch to a neutral mode and back into your integrity. When you're out of drama's reach, mentally, physically, or emotionally, you cannot be flooded with stuff that is not yours. And boy, does that happen to people over and over and over. They get flooded with stuff that is not theirs, and they begin to think it is theirs, and it's not. It's somebody else's. And they have the grace to let somebody else be who they are as they step into their reality and be who they are.
Exactly. And I mean, when you said that about not knowing yourself due to being a giver, I mean, I can remember in my 30s questioning, who am I really? You know, I took on this name, I took on this motherhood, I took on this other stuff, but who is Rhonda really, and what does she really stand for? Mm-hmm.
How did you find your way around and through that question? Because that is the main deal when people come to that point. They have to find their way. Their friend can't say, oh, Rhonda, read this book, or oh, Rhonda, go to this conference. You might be introduced to it, but it may not ring a bell for you. It may ring a bell for your friend, but again, that's not your reality. That's theirs.
Mm-hmm.
So you have to keep tuning in, refining who is Rhonda, what does Rhonda like? Does she like pizza or hamburger? Does
mm-hmm.
she like to read a novel or an in-depth scientific book? When her friend wants her to read this novel, and you really want to read the in-depth scientific book, but
mm-hmm.
you get pulled to your friend because she's your friend and you want to continue having that relationship.
Mm-hmm.
But you can still say, that's great, I'm glad you love that novel, I'll get to it someday, but right now I'm really intrigued by this book. That's
mm-hmm.
standing up for yourself, that's being present in your own reality. And then you find your level of integrity rather than giving in, giving in, giving in, and giving up. And then you get 70, 80, 90 years old, and you go, well, what was that about? What was that life about?
Mm-hmm.
And nobody wants to do that.
No.
You know, we're about empowerment.
Yeah. And just real quickly, I'm going to let the listeners know that if you want to call in with questions or comments, call 1-347-838-9142. We'll be taking callers at the halfway mark just after the break, about 30 minutes into the show. And I already see that we have questions being, you know, brought up already where people want to talk. And I will just number you in sequence, and then you'll be brought into the studio by me saying the last four digits of your phone number. And with that, Susie, you know, I mean, I think it's this time where everyone's wanting to know, you know, who am I really? You know, besides the governmental side, the social side, the religious side, you know, of, you know, what do I really believe? What do I think is the real, you know, important stuff in my life? You know, and as women, a lot of times we're taught to be submissive and do what our husbands do, and if our husbands don't approve of it, then don't do it. You know, and I think
mm-hmm.
those days are pretty much over.
I hope so, although I heard a comment from a friend of mine the other day, and it didn't strike me till later. She's growing her hair out because her new boyfriend wants long hair. And had I been a little more present in that moment, I could have said, "Well, what length of hair do you like?"
Mm-hmm.
You know, and it's not that I'm trying to change anybody. I like to bring awareness so that they'll recognize when that's going like, maybe I don't like long hair. I don't like the hassle of long hair. I like my hair as a bob, or I like my hair really short, or I do like long hair, so I'm going to agree with it. But it has to come from the inner you.
Mm-hmm.
And this is part of my belief system, is that we've been around this planet many, 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 many times. And we come to this earth plane after we've already been up in the soul world. And I think that we get a little, we get to go like into a movie theater and see all these vignettes of our lives. And then when we're on this side, we can remember a few, and I call these psychic bleeds. And I'll give you an instance of one if you want.
Sure.
It was in 1969, and I was flying for TWA, and I was living in Kansas City, a California girl living way out of my element in the Midwest. But anyway, there I was, and I went with my flight mate, and we went to a very popular, fun, easy-to-be-at bar. And I'm not a bar person by any means, neither was she, but we walked in this place, and my memory of this place is probably different than anybody else's on that day, but I turned in the door and walked in, and what I saw was a flat plane, and it was full of people, but I saw a flat plane with one person standing up. And when I saw that one person, I intuitively, instantly, in a nanosecond, said, "There's the man I'm going to marry." Now, I had never seen this guy before in my entire life, didn't know a thing about him. He happened to be working there as a waiter. And to me, that was like a psychic bleed, because I stayed around, we got to know each other, and we were married in 2.5 months. And that was almost 46 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
So to me, that kind of thing makes sense when you get a deja vu feeling, when you get something like, "Wow, I knew that." You know, it's like, okay, these little things are lining up in your life as you were shown on the other side. And certainly in every moment, every single moment, we have many potentialities that can play out. That's why when you go for a psychic reading or something, they tell you something, you go, "Oh, good, there's blah, 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 blah." But that's just one possibility, and it may not come true, because the future is extraordinarily malleable. The present right now is what you are dealing with, and that's why I love living intuitively, because it is absolutely right now in the present moment. It's not 2 weeks away or next month or in the past. It is right this extreme moment. And when you get to know more about what's going on in your mind, the yeses and the noes, simple things like packing to go on a trip. You've got all these clothes you can take. How do you decide? I go intuitively. Yes, no, yes, no, yes, no. And it makes it really quick and really easy. Decisions in business. You can do the yes, no, yes, no, yes, no. If you're in tune and you're neutral and you're not emotional and you really know how your intuition comes to you. So you have to do a few steps before you get to the yes, no, yes, no.
Yes, and it's funny you mention that, because I was just in Manitou Springs over the weekend, and I intuitively packed certain oils to give as gifts, because I make essential oils as well, to the because we were going to be in ceremony and stuff. And it happened to be the ones that I picked were the exact ones these different people needed. You know, one was for grief and one was for depression and to bring more joy into their life. And, you know, and it was just like, I find it interesting how Source lets me know that, because it's like all of a sudden I'm in that moment and I'm blindly picking them and not even knowing what it is I'm picking. And then when I get there, I look at them and I go, oh, this one goes to that person, this one goes to that person, you know, and it's just such a beautiful way to live because you're not so caught up in the stress of what if, what about tomorrow, you know, what is it going to be like in a month, you know, it's more about being in the moment and trusting that spirit's not going to drop you on your head.
Yeah.
You know.
And those are very, very, very big, broad spiritual concepts that the more people live in those concepts and accept them as real, because you can't see them, you can't see intuition.
Right.
This is why a lot of left brain people don't actually like it. Although they may use it, they don't like to talk about it. Because it's not a statistic. It's not something you can prove on paper. To you alone in your quiet mind, and it comes faster, extremely faster than the left brain processing. It just does. You always make a decision intuitively in a nanosecond, where if you're going to do it in a left brain process, it's a slow sort of meander around all the information available. And intuition, being present with source energy, doesn't work that way. And it's not provable, which is one thing I love, because I like the mystery of life. I'm very happy and, you know, floating around, being very grounded, but floating around in the mystery of life, knowing that there's somebody working for me on the other side that is kind of like my business partner, and that's the beautiful energy of source, because source, which is the energy of everything. It's the cats, it's the table, it's the rocks, it's the computers, it's everything, every cell within us as human beings, every mental, emotional, spiritual, physical, mental idea is all source. And it comes to us in very different packages. And when we can be grateful for understanding some of it, because you know, we're just little human beings here, and we just cannot fathom what is beyond us. We just can't. We're limited in that way. And part of what you are trying to do in your shows and what I do is help people understand a little bit of their limitations so they can lift that veil and kind of grow a little more and be comfortable in their skin.
Yes, very much so, you know, and to know that there's many different facets to spirituality and that, you know, you don't have to be locked into one or another. You can pick and, I mean, what I've learned in my process is I can pick and choose what works for me at that moment. You know, it may not work the same the next day, but it works beautifully that moment. And I think, you know, that's the intuitiveness and listening to your gut, to which I can remember for a long time of don't trust your gut, and now it's more about, you know, trust your gut because it's probably telling you the thing you need to hear, or, you know, sometimes I'll make a decision and my gut will say, no, don't do it that way, and I'll do it the way I go with, and then all of a sudden it's like, you know, I should have listened to my gut. I should have listened to that intuition because
I hear that
a lot. Yeah. You know, would have solved a huge upset, you know. It wouldn't have happened if I would have just listened to my intuitive side, you know.
Yeah.
And it's still learn, you know, and I think you continue to learn throughout your life. It doesn't stay the same forever.
Yeah, and just because you didn't pay attention at that particular time, that's a very good lesson, and maybe that's a lesson you needed to learn instead of being ever so bright and just getting over it all the time and always finding the right way.
Right.
That just doesn't happen in our humanness.
Mm-hmm.
I was on a plane in December, and I happened to be chatting with the seatmate across the way from me, and I asked him, I said, well, are you going to Sacramento, which is where I was headed? And he said, oh, no, he said, I was, but he said, I was headed home to Las Vegas, but I got a call from a friend, and this friend said, I need you. I just bought you a ticket. Can you come to me? And he said, of course. And this guy said, I don't know what happened to me. He said, 6 weeks ago, I would have said, no, are you crazy? But all of a sudden, something happened. He doesn't know what happened. And I am getting calls to serve and be of service to other people. And I just show up, and he said, miraculous things are happening. And he said, I have no understanding of this. I have no spiritual basis. I don't know what I'm doing. He says, but everywhere I go, I'm put in a spiritual mode. And I told him a little bit about what I did and do. And he says, oh, man, I wish I would have known this 50 years ago. And I said, but it wouldn't have helped you 50 years ago. It's helping you now. Now you are able to take time and relax and not be, because he's an uber busy guy, even though he's retired, he's doing all these, he's still teaching and doing all these things. But he's understanding the freedom of not working so hard to make something happen, but allowing things to happen. And it's just a brand new vocabulary for him. He was just astonished, and it was just a delight to chat with him.
Yeah,
and you can find conversations like this in our world now almost all the time.
Yeah,
people are opening up to new wonderful levels of awareness, which is that's one of the pearls was small steps to the real you. And that's exactly what he's doing. He's doing, well, I think he's doing some gargantuan leaps, but small steps and just recognizing, aha, I do like pizza better than hamburger. I'm not going to eat hamburger again. Or, aha, I like hamburger today and I sure didn't like it yesterday. That's knowing what serves you, not what serves others.
And I think a lot of it is about being true to ourselves and true to the divine, of recognizing, you know, when we are in the midst of that. And like you said, even if it is something that, you know, it doesn't work out well, it's a lesson of, you know, what to do the next time. Because I believe there are no mistakes and there's no, you know, bad part. It's all about a learning curve. You know, you learn as you go, and the only way you can learn is by making mistakes at time and realizing that that doesn't work.
Yeah. And how many friends have you heard say, I just got divorced, or I lost my job, or I had an illness, and it was horrible, but it was the best thing that ever happened to me. And you got to wonder, why is that the best thing that ever happened to them? Because it's such a horrible thing to live through. Yet they found a grace within the change that not everybody who has not had that situation finds. And that's what they're talking about.
That is so true. Well, we're almost to the halfway point. Listeners, again, if you can call at 1-347-838-9142 and you'll be put in the queue, and I'll be able to see you in the back. And during our break, I will check in with you to get your first name. I'm really excited about this new process of finding out about all these new ways to have the soul-human interaction through reading and looking at things in a different perspective. And I think your book does that really beautifully.
Thank you, Rhonda.
You're very welcome. And we're going to take about a two and a half minute break. So there'll be music in the interim, and we'll take a break. If you want to get a glass of water or a cup of tea, this is the time to do it, so you don't miss anything in this interview. But you can always go back to the archives if you want to re-listen to it, or if you feel like you've missed something. You can go to www.blogtalkradio.com/Renford, and it will bring you to the page of the archive shows, and you can go in and download it if you'd like it for your permanent record, or you can listen to it at the time. But with that, we're going to go to a little bit of music, and we'll be back shortly.
You've been searching for answers, wandering in the dark, looking for that glimmer of light that resonates with your soul and spirit. As you step into this new era that some indigenous people refer to as the Rainbow Ridge, without a compass, without a guide, yet needing some help to navigate your way through this spiritual maze? Look no further. We've got the map. The Searcher's Roadmap. Now here's your host for the Searcher's Roadmap, Rhonda Harris.
Well, that music played fast.
It was a quick 2.5 minutes.
It was a little faster than I anticipated. But, Susie, we have someone in the back. Her name's Sandy. She's got some questions and kind of wanting to know if you have any information for her. So I'm going to let you speak with her. Sandy, you're on the air. You can talk to Susie or I, and we can give you some information.
Hi.
Hello, Sandy.
Thanks for taking my call. Hi. I was just wondering if you see anything for me. I'm just, I'm real excited about everything right now, and I really don't understand. So,
congratulations.
Thank you. Okay.
I would say that you are in the right place to understand more of this interior life that has been designed for you or that you have designed for yourself. And it is a method of maybe going to different conferences, going to seminars, listening to radio shows like this, going to a bookstore. And part of the deal is, and I'm sorry, I don't do intuitive readings. That's a different sort of thing. I do consultations in a different way. But if you go into, say, a bookstore, and you're browsing around, and you go in with a really deep intention, and this is a real strong intention that you find something that's of value to you. Now, this is very specific. It's of value to you that you might learn whatever path you want to go on or whatever that is. You have to put your words in there. And just scan all the books, and when your eye rests somewhere, pull that book out and look at it and see if it holds something for you. The same when you're reading an article in a magazine or listening to a radio show. If something piques your interest, that's you. When you start getting rid of it, that's not you. That's somebody else's thought, idea, or energy. To concentrate on, but you. And if you use that as a practice, being very neutral, you can't just go out and say, "Oh, I'm going to go find what zings me right now," and just run around doing that. That's just a ego wanting, and that won't help you.
Okay.
The soul has specific needs for you, and it will come through very soft whispers. And a soft whisper might be that zing where your eye holds on a word or a sentence, and you've just read 10,000 sentences and you see this one sentence and that means something to you. So you take that sentence and you write it down and you keep writing or journaling or talking to somebody that you trust about this, because the more that you see something that's really you and reflect on it and write it, that will open up more passages for more of you to come out. And I'm so excited for you, Sandy. Congratulations.
Can you do that with music? It seems to be I get stuck on a certain song. I'll hear it. And there's certain lines in that song that I just like, that's mine. That's for me. I know it's
then
for me.
Then write that down. Yeah, write that down. There's a message in there. You don't have to take the message, like, deeply, deeply to heart. It's part of a process, part of a puzzle. And, again, you have to be careful that your ego is not driving it, because the ego is wonderfully loud. We love our ego. It's important. But it wants to protect you, and it thinks it's stronger than the soul.
Okay.
It's only here while you're alive. The soul is eternal all the time. So just kind of check in, and I do a process when I do intuitive consulting with people where I help them, I don't help them, I ask them to name their soul personality and their ego personality, and that helps them become aware of who's running the show.
Thank you.
And the more
makes
you know
a lot
who's
sense.
Running the show, the better off you are.
Well, thank you so much. Thank you for your time, because
thank
that helps so much.
Good. Good luck to you, Sandy.
You too. Have a great day.
Uh-huh.
We are.
Yes, we are. And we have another caller in the queue, and her name is Carr, and she has some questions and comments. Oops.
Okay.
Hi, Carr.
Hello, Carr.
Hi there.
How can we help you?
My question has to do with in going into your own business and being intuitive at the same time about going forward into, you know, doing it on your own. What would be the best manifestation of process?
Well, the intention has to be really ground in sincerity, integrity, and reality. And everything, once you set your intention, and when I do intuitive business consulting, I help people through a process to really find what their intention is and refine it so it's not just something that is something they think they want, but something that they really, really feel strongly about. And it all starts with the intention, and every decision you make circles back to that intention. Does it support the intention? Is it going to help you? Is it going to be part of that world, or is it way off steer and left base? The decision you make is way off and left base, and the intention is way over here and right base. You're not in integrity, and you won't be able to pull things off. So, I mean, you will for a while, but then it may not continue. So you have to be careful that your intention is very, very strong and you're willing to take the risks it takes to be an entrepreneur. And there's so many levels to it. We can't go into it on the show here, but really work on your intention. And if you need help, please let me know. You can get hold of me at my website, dearsource.com, and I would be happy to help you. I help people with this kind of stuff so that they know where they're going. I mean, I have a gal I just worked with, and she's in Bali now. She never stepped out of her box. She had a box that she created, and she was stuck in that box for many years, and all of a sudden she was feeling this nudge to go somewhere by herself. And she did, and she became, the soul is a circle-like, very malleable and open and workable, and the box is the ego, and it's strong, and it doesn't let you out. She moved into her soul, went to Bali. She's coming back. She's opening a store of Balinese clothing and artifacts, and she is in love with life. She never would have done this had she not stepped out of the box. But it's a process. It doesn't just happen overnight.
Okay, that makes a lot of sense.
So I hope that helps.
Yes, yes, tremendous.
Okay,
fantastic.
Work on your intention.
Thank you, yes.
Thank you, Karen. Give her contact if you like at dearsource.com, okay?
Okay, thank you.
Thank you. So back to your book, Susie. You know, I kind of just keep randomly pulling different pages open.
Oh, what did you randomly pull up this time?
Allow the present to be your only moment.
Oh, boy. What a journey that was, huh? I mean, many spiritual teachers, most all spiritual teachers talk about that. Ram Dass did it years ago and still is, and Eckhart Tolle does it. People don't understand the present moment. They really don't. It's very, very hard because as ego creatures, human, in the humankind, we are always either in the past or the future, and we're rarely right here in the present. It's so hard for us to be in the present. And when I work with somebody and they say, well, I tripped and fell and broke my hip, I said, can you go back to the moment before you fell and tell me what was going on? Oh, yes, I was very worried about what I just saw and what was going on. They were not in the present moment at all. They were, their mind had created a story that they were living in, and they weren't grounded. They weren't part of the reality of what was around them. And it's easy to fall and get hurt in that situation. And that's just a very simplistic idea of how not being in the present moment can be harmful. But getting into the present moment and just being is such a beautiful thing to strive for. And once in a while in meditation or in quiet moments in nature or sitting and petting your dog or your cat, or as a friend of mine said, she is very much in the present moment when she's cleaning the manure out of her horse stall because it's kind of meditative, right?
Uh-huh.
It's a meditative sort of thing. You're not forcing yourself to be in the present moment. You just are. And you're, if a thought comes up of the past or the future, you come back to what you're exactly doing, sweeping the porch, going for a walk, being on a bike ride and being present to the smells around you and the sights,
uh-huh.
and, you know, any way that you want to be in a meditative present moment. But you have to allow it. You have to allow it to be. And people who live in our lunatic society of crazy busy, and everybody does it, I'm included, we just have a hard time being present. We really, really do. But there's ways you can do it. Washing the dishes.
Yeah, that's what I was just going to say. What are some of those things? But it's kind of like the things that you do repeatedly and has a methodical type of background. Am I correct?
Yes, to me it is. Like people who
mm-hmm.
love to sew, they don't mm-hmm. have to think about how the darn sewing machine works like I do. They
mm-hmm.
just sit down and boop, boop, they're done. But they are in the moment of sewing. When they're sewing, they are not thinking of, you know, what happened to their ex-husband 3 years ago or what's going to happen with their future kids. They're right there in that moment. Singers, ball, people who are athletes, they get
mm-hmm.
in that zone because they have trained themselves to be there. And we can all do that. That's what meditation is about. And there's, of course, tons of confusion about meditation. I wrote a great article that's on the Wellness Universe website. It's called I Flunked Meditation, Did You? Because I think most people I talk to feel like they have flunked meditation because they can't sit on a pillow on the floor in a cross-legged situation. They don't like to chant. They don't like to close their eyes. They don't feel safe, whatever. But my thought, and I think that mindfulness meditation is bringing this about, is that anything you do, like you said, repetitively, where you can just be right there with it, is a meditative moment. And people need to find what is true for them, not what works for the neighbor, but what, maybe they're a painter, maybe they're a writer, maybe they do radio shows. You know, when you're in your radio show, you're in the present moment. Certainly,
oh, yeah,
your left brain is engaged thinking about an idea that you're going to go through. But when you're in the show, you're not following that idea. You're following the trend of the conversation and where it's going and where you're guided to lead it next.
Yeah, and for me, it's about listening to spirit in regards to what is the next question, you know, what should I do? Because I don't write out a dialogue, so to speak, for
mm-hmm.
the radio shows. I just go from my intuitive side, you know, of mm-hmm. listening, picking up what maybe the other listeners who don't want to call in would ask a question. Because one of the things that keeps popping up at me is your insight lectures featuring National New Thought teachers. Are you doing that now? And if so, how can people find that?
No, I stopped doing that in 2012. It was going gangbusters until the economy went gangbusters.
Mm-hmm.
And then people stopped attending live conferences and
mm-hmm.
Seminars. And I did them in our little corner of the world. I got really fabulous people. I had David White. I had Bruce Lipton. I did some things with Jill Bolte, Dr. Jill Bolte Taylor, but in different cities. Byron Katie, Sonia Choquette, Denise Lynn, tons of really, really high-quality teachers.
Mm-hmm.
And people loved the information. They loved the gathering and everything. But when the economy went, there went that business model. And then I decided at that time to change from supporting others, which I had been doing for years and was very good at,
mm-hmm.
to getting my voice and my ideas out there. That's why Pearls came about into fruition in 2014, is because it was time for them to then be real in the world, and now they are, and it's very gratifying.
Can you let the listeners know how to get your book, Pearls 52 Contemplative Insights?
They can go to Amazon.com and just type in Pearls 52 Contemplative Insights. It'll come up, and they can buy it from there. And they can invite me to come speak, and I'll bring my books with me. And there's many ways, but Amazon is the easiest way at this point in time. Unless they live in Northern California, there's a few of them scattered around up here.
And that was my next question, is if you were doing live speaking engagements in regards to your book, and if you have a schedule at all that you can share with the listeners as to where you're going to be in the next few months.
I don't have one right now. That is in percolation. I'm going on vacation, and so my idea of going on vacation tomorrow is to sit and be. Do you think
mm-hmm.
I'll be successful?
I think you will be, especially considering I know where you're going, and it's where I live
yes.
in Colorado. And it's probably,
yeah.
well, I think it's the most beautiful place to sit and contemplate, due to the water,
mm-hmm.
the rivers, the creeks, you know, the animals that are in nature, you know, because they can all have a message and can all have a beautiful way of bringing themselves up and in front of you, you know, and then you go,
yes.
what does that deer mean? What does that moose mean? You know, what do the elk mean? You know, and,
yeah.
You know, or what does this bird mean, you know, to me, you know, that type of thing, which is just absolutely beautiful, because I do that a lot myself. I haven't so much in the last 9 months because I've been ill and been down in the lower part of Colorado in Greeley rather than at my place in Red Feather Lakes that is very quiet and has a lot of interaction with nature, because I'm out walking in it a lot. And,
yeah. And that's really important for people who live in cities. If
mm-hmm.
they can find some way to maybe get barefoot on the grass or
mm-hmm.
even on gravel, and that's a grounding mechanism to go outside, and maybe not when it's snowing, but, you know, and walk barefoot, and just with the intention that, again, we're going to go back to intention, that you're
mm-hmm.
connecting in with Mother Earth, with the earth energy that feeds you, because it's the same as you. You're
mm-hmm.
no different than the rock or the trees.
Mm-hmm.
You look different, but you're still all from source energy.
And you know, and it's about having that soulful experience rather than a physical experience. You know, the soulful one
yeah.
is a lot deeper. And
yeah.
I think that's
yeah.
what we get, you know, into, is that type of looking at things. You know, it's like I'm one that goes barefoot even in the winter, because I tend to like to be grounded in what's going on around me. And if I'm wearing shoes too much, it seems like I get ungrounded. And
mm-hmm.
It's just over the weekend, someone kept going, "Why are you walking around barefoot?" And I'm like, because I need to be grounded. I feel like I'm too flighty right at the moment, you know. And I
yeah.
think that helps sometimes when you have that fight or flight reaction is to take your shoes off and walk in the grass. Or like when I was first getting sober 26 years ago, I used to go to the botanical gardens because I didn't know how to survive in a city and all the noise and everything. So I would go to the botanical gardens and get into a nature setting in the middle of the city. And for people who live in the city, you know, you can do that too, you know, or stop and smell the roses in the park or the tulips or whatever, instead of just going, oh, those are pretty, whatever, and keep walking. Because, I mean, a lot of people do walking now, but it's about stopping and taking those deep breaths in and smelling what's around us.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, the soul needs that. That's refreshing for the soul.
Mm-hmm.
The soul is just the most vital, important part of each individual person. It hasn't gotten a lot of play from the regular society because they're more interested in the material goods.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, that's all ego-driven. You know, what color car do I have? How big is my house? What
mm-hmm.
label clothing do I wear? You know, where do I live? What neighborhood do I live in? And all these things are ego-driven, which are fine. There's nothing wrong
mm-hmm.
with that.
Mm-mm.
But there's a big side that needs to be appreciated and learned about, and that's your soul. And that's why I do the work with Claire, my soul personality, and Posey, my ego personality. I write on my website, there's a lot of different blogs or posts, I'm not sure quite what to call them, with Q&As. So somebody might, the one I just put in there yesterday was, I need to say no, because people want to say no to other people or events or situations when they're asked for help, and instead they say yes, because it's a human conditioned societal response. Yet they feel like they're sinking when they do that, and they don't know how to say no in a gentle, kind way rather than always say yes and then be very unhappy with themselves that they have they've gone into a yes again when they didn't mean it. They didn't know how to say yes. So Claire will answer from the soul's point of view why to say no, and Posey will answer from the ego's point of view why to say yes, because that's what the ego does. So they're kind of entertaining, and there's always a spiritual message in them, and it's always, again, non-dogmatic. You can take it from any tradition. I have no specific tradition that I'm involved in myself, although I was brought up as a Catholic. There's a story behind that, and, you know, that's not me. I'm not traditional by any means. I was allowed to think on my own, and for that I give my mom and dad, my mom especially, high kudos. Happy Mother's Day, Mom, because she and her family allowed all of us to be able to investigate this who am I thing, because they did in her family. They all
and
did, and it was wonderful to live in a family like that.
I have another pearl for you, which totally goes along this line. It says, following your heart allows your creativity to flow. Pearl number 9.
Yes. Oh, yes, because just think of it. Those people who, you know, if they're a writer or a painter or somebody who's creative, I don't care if that's a basketball player, their heart put them in a certain position, and if they follow it rather than their head, oh my goodness, just things open up and they'll say, how is this even possible?
Mm-hmm.
And isn't that the beautiful miracle of life? And it's because you're paying attention to what your soul needs versus what your ego wants.
Mm-hmm. And
our
ego sometimes.
Your soul does not...
Go on ahead.
Go ahead. Well, our soul is not in an emotional basis when it needs something.
Mm-hmm.
It's just in a continuous loving learning pattern. Hello, Rhonda, let's go this way. Hello, Rhonda, let's go this way. Hello, Susie, think this. Hello, Susie, do this. But it's quiet. It's quiet, quiet, quiet.
Mm-hmm.
And we're so filled with noise that we don't always hear it. But if you train yourself and do the practice over and over again, you can start hearing it. And you can also ask your ego to take a little break. I mean, before I came on the air with you, I did a little meditation and say, okay, Posey, go, you know, go be in the corner. It's okay. You don't need to be loud. And she just got pouty. And I said, you don't need to be pouty. It's okay. This is just what's going on. And Claire, because she's my soul, she's clearer. She's allowing. She's loving. She's light. And Posey is a little pissy sometimes, as our egos can be. So when you learn where you're living within the moment, if it's Posey or Claire, whatever your names are, you can switch up and become proactive for yourself, which is your soul, following your heart, or reactive for yourself, which is your mind, following your ego.
And I think when we follow our ego, our creativity isn't as flowing as it is when we're in a soulful place.
Well, it's stifled a little bit, because if you just think of these two images of an ego being boxed in, and it's a strong box, it's not going to let you out easy, and the soul being a circle that's malleable. Sometimes it's a oblong, and sometimes it's an amoeba, you know, and it kind of goes all over the place, because that's creative. That's creative, and you want to go live in that circle of energy and draw outside the lines as often as possible. And I think, like, what these young kids today are doing that is so different than anything that I would do, I think it's remarkable. I see so much creativity in them, because they are following their heart, and I just adore them for it, because they're not letting their ego constructs stand in the way of, well, my parents told me I couldn't be an artist. Okay, their parents might have told them they couldn't be an artist, but all of a sudden they said, I'm going to go be an artist. And they are. They're creating things that are just crazy, wonderful, fun. I love it.
Yeah, I do too. So to my listeners, and to reach out and get in touch with Susie and check out her book, 52 Contemplative Insights, and get a hold of her at www.dearsource.com. And if you want to reach me and you have questions, or you have an author or a shaman or a healer that you want me to interview so that you can understand the concept, you can write me at searchersroadmap@gmail.com. As I've not opened up a new email yet for this show, but I will be in the next few weeks. And with that, we're at almost the end of the show. Does Source have anything that, or Claire, that she wants to share with the world?
Well, I would say that if somebody goes to my website and signs up for my email list, they'll get a free gift, so they might like that. And I like to end, as I ended my book, I love this saying that came to me, and it's very universal, but it's, be kind to yourself and to others. And sink into that one and feel it. And what it feels to be kind to yourself first, it means love yourself, appreciate yourself, live in gratitude, live from the heart, be creative, and then be kind to others. You do not know what's going on in anybody's life. You just don't. So if you come to them with a smile and a happy countenance, the world is a better place.
And that is so true. And with that, I'm going to close with a little music, and we'll be back next week on Thursday. And tomorrow I will be on the Searchers Roadmap at noon Rocky Mountain time, 1 p.m. Central time. So please join me then. And with that, Susie, thank you so much for coming on the show and sharing this beautiful book with the listeners.
Oh, Rhonda, you're a gift. Thank you. I so appreciate it. And thank you, listeners, for tuning in.
Thank you. And with that, we'll play the music, and I will talk to everyone later tomorrow and next week. Bye.
Bye now.